When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
What's up, man? How's it going? Hope you had a lovely Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you likewise as well.
I know, yeah, you were probably there as far as I know. That's the plan anyway. So
we're doing the thing where we're recording for the future, but the future hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
So you're listening post-Christmas, but we haven't experienced Christmas yet.
Right.
So it always puts us in a particularly interesting spot. But the kind of fun thing is that as this episode airs, it will be the 29th of December. Which means that we are just about to be at the turn of the year. It's about to be 2024. And so before coming in to record this particular episode, I was sitting down and I was just like, oh, just out of curiosity, I kind of want to go back to this episode from last year.
Okay.
And see what it was that like we were talking about, like what aspirations we had on the horizon, because I mean, this is always a fantastic time of year to sort of do that, like that kind of like in review, like how did I do? Did you have any goals or, oh, what are they called at the beginning of a year? The decisions.
Resolutions.
Yeah. That's the one. I was like, I know this word. do you have any resolutions or anything that you sort of like sought off to do and maybe did or did not do? And it was really interesting listening to the specific things that came up in this particular episode.
Oh, man.
One of the things in particular was that you were talking at this time last year, because again, we would be post holidays, and you were talking about the concept or the term called stuffification.
Stuffification, like, which is the like being suffocated by the amount of stuff you have.
Do you not remember this at all?
I remember the word now that you say it, but it's not a word that has come up a lot. Is that what it meant?
That is what it means. Yeah,
okay, yeah.
So you were basically living in the aftermath of the holidays and all the gifts that you and your kids and everything got. So the house is now full of stuff. And at the time we were kind of talking about like, you know, what do you do about like all of the things, and basically what we were proposing pre-holidays for this year was that maybe you could go and do like a preemptive purge, like sort of get some stuff out of the house. Dude, so that when the new stuff comes in,
not because I remembered the phrase stuffification or because we set out to specifically like prep for this, but yes.
Okay.
I mean, well, maybe just in preparation for like, yeah, we know there's a lot of Christmas gifts on the way in, but like there's definitely been in the last like 3 weeks, Beth has been in like purge declutter mode.
Good.
And I know, yeah, I'm not sure it's like specifically related to like we're gonna have so much new things coming in.
Okay.
But it is but it has been happening anyway. And like even this past weekend I went through, like I cleaned out the garage, which had just gotten very, very cluttered and messy. It's like, man, it is amazing to me the like amount, and this sounds so dumb because I'm like walking just into my garage, but like the amount of like energy I feel walking into the garage now where it is like clean and open.
Yeah.
And it's like, you wouldn't think, and it's like, I don't even spend that much time in here. I don't even have that much use to be like, most of my time in the garage is going to the fridge in the garage to get like a sparkling water.
Right.
Like that is my main purpose of being in the garage. And like, it's not a room I spend time in, but just like the act of being in a clean room, like brings me such joy. And it's like, and it's the garage, you know?
No, I know. But yeah. I mean, I think like when you come to know a space as just being so cluttered, and then when you're in it and it's not cluttered, it's just like, it's like, oh, this is so nice.
Yes, there is. Okay. So in my bedroom, there is like on my side of the bed, there is just, you know, if there's the wall, then there's the space, and then there's the bed, right? You know, there's like a
okay. I'm gonna stop you right there. What luxury that you have space between the bedside table and the wall.
I do.
My just in case anybody's curious, my bedroom is the size of the bed, and then we have two. I would say there are 14-inch round tables on both sides that we have a lamp on okay. either side of our bed, and that touches one wall on one side, and then the other wall, it basically almost impedes the ability to open the door.
Okay.
So that is like the amount of space that our bedroom gotcha. Possesses. Is okay. That, yeah.
So we've got the bed, then the nightstand, and then there's a space of about nightstand size next to the nightstand of open space, and then the wall.
Do you just do like yoga there? Jumping jacks?
So what happens though is like, it is amazing. So in that space, when there's nothing at all in that space, except for like, you know, the lamp and the nightstand, the things that are supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Like it is the same effect. It is like this, I can breathe. It is so freeing. And yet, despite like the known value of this space being empty to me, I will like inevitably like leave a pile of pants there or something, you know.
Yes.
Like it is always the spot. Like, I don't know if you have this problem, but like,
oh, I do. Yeah.
Especially like, I do. Yeah, with like jeans or like if I like wear a sweatshirt or something with like a shirt underneath it, I will often get to the end of the day and be like, these clothes sort of fall into like a limbo zone where I'm like, I don't feel like they are need to go through the washer.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I get what you're saying completely, and like I'm the exact same way. So like I typically I feel like my laundry basket will fill up so very quickly, and a lot of times I'll be like, what, like how did this happen? It's been like a week's worth of clothes. Like I didn't wear that much clothes. And you go and you start like pulling, like, especially this time of year where it's cold.
Yeah.
Like you're like sweaters and pullovers and hoodies and stuff, and it's like, okay, this is not dirty, and it's just taking up like a huge amount
right.
of volume.
It's taking, yeah. So it's like in my effort to stave off future laundry clutter.
Yeah.
I like will take those clothes off, but because they're like worn and not like fresh, I like don't put them back in the dresser either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
like,
there's
that would
just
feel
sort
wrong.
Of,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
It's like, so I just put them here. And, but then I'm like, then, you know, then there's just a mess there.
I imagine Beth coming in and be like, Jonathan, what is
boom,
this?
Boom, boom, boom.
That's my pants pile.
No.
It's the other way around.
I mean, Beth does the same thing.
Okay,
her side of
okay.
the room is more likely, I think, to have stuff on it than my side. But like, I don't have to go over there because mine is like, you walk in the door and boom, it's right in front of you.
Okay.
So it's like, if it's over there, like that doesn't impede, that's like her side of the room. I don't need to venture over there very much.
Oh,
I don't even have to like walk in that space almost ever.
Let me vent as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me vent because I mean, this is another one of those, a very small room. It's also, so like, as a result, we have like one small closet. It's not like we don't have like a walk-in closet or anything like
right.
that. And so that is the one that, to be fair, at least my closet is in the room itself, so I don't have to go to a separate room. However, we do have a separate room that is Alice's walk-in closet.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, like she has a whole room of our house that is dedicated to being her closet. And to be fair, it's a small room. You know, it's not like a full-size bedroom. Like, I don't even think you could put a queen-size bed in there.
But it could function as a bedroom.
It could function as a bedroom.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. It has its own closet. It has its own windows. So it is technically, in fact, a bedroom. And the thing is that like if you were to go into Alice's closet room, and on occasion she's good about it, but for most part it looks like a bomb went off in there.
Right.
And
sure.
There is just, you know, like a myriad of stuff sort of everywhere. But then because my clothes are in the bedroom, it's like if I have like an overflowing hamper, it's sort of like I hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like wrecking her
yeah, it's in her space.
It's in her space all
right.
of a sudden. She's like, what's going on with all this? And I'm like, hey now, you have a whole room one wall over that looks a lot worse than my one hoodie that's like dangling on the floor over there. We're doing
right.
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not a shared space.
I'm exaggerating this entire circumstance but but this has come up before, and at times I'm like, come on.
Yeah. But like, sometimes I will like stare at my pants pile, you know,
yeah,
next to my bed.
TM.
TM. Yeah. Trademark. That's mine.
Yeah.
My pants pile. And I will like know in my heart that if it wasn't there, if I cleaned it up, I would be so happy. And at the same time, I'm like, don't, you can't do it though. Like, don't leave it there. Definitely leave it there for sure. Like, as if it would be like really selfish, like because I know it would make me happy, like doing it's like kind of selfish or something.
By cleaning it up.
Is that like a weird like personal relationship to have with something where you're like, I know that it will make me happy to do this, and because it will make me happy, that's selfish. And so I shouldn't do it. And it's like, it's so dumb because it's not selfish. It's helpful to literally everyone, including yourself.
It feels like you've got like mental wires crossed.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, which I understand, because I mean, it's like prioritizing your own individual needs is not always the easiest thing, especially, you know, for someone like in your position where you've got like a big family and like kids who like need your attention and support so often. Mm-hmm. So I can see like where you've convinced yourself that like, it's like, no, you know, like I can't just do this. Like I need to focus on like everybody else, you know, like whatever. But yeah, that feels like a hilarious sort of like byproduct is almost like I leave a mess, but I don't want the mess to be there. And I actively am not happy about the fact that there's a mess, and it would make me very happy to clean it up. And it wouldn't even take that much energy.
That's the thing. It's like, it would only realistically take like 2 to 3 minutes to completely clean up this mess to bring me way like, and it's like the multiply. It's like, if you were like playing a video game, like, why do you keep skipping that like 10 times multiplier over there?
Right.
Like it is like such a discounted happiness item over there.
Right. You,
like,
you would enjoy things so much.
Like you have to put in barely any effort and you would reap so much reward. And it's like, yeah, but like, you know, that it would make me happy to do that. So understand.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah. Clearly, I'm not going to go and fix this.
Exactly. I don't deserve it, you see.
Right. In the meantime, you can buy...
It's like a form of self-punishment.
We should go on Carlin Brothers Mercantile and include Pants Pile. If you buy it, you receive nothing except for the new opportunity to go and leave your pants in a pile.
Exactly. Yes. Like,
because you've clearly never considered this potential opportunity before.
Oh man.
So speaking of things you can buy, this is another funny story that we from last year's episode that I stumbled across.
Suffocation.
I wouldn't have brought it up except for the fact that something happened this week that I thought was just had so much like a comedic value to me.
Yeah.
You know, but like, so, okay, here's the premise. So last year we were talking a little bit about, I think you have a down the street neighbor who was discovering the fact that you were like a YouTuber in like more of a like actual capacity.
Oh, okay. rather
than like sort of like a hobby type thing.
Yeah.
Like, so basically the idea, I think, was that like their water was off. He was coming over to like shower, or somebody was.
And I remember the occasion.
Yeah. You were chatting with him, and in the process of doing so, you were going through like a myriad of sort of like, there was like a Rhett and Link reference, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, we got to meet them once. And we did at like a VidCon once upon a time. And then the other one that came up was the Gregory brothers, who happened to be from our area, our region here. They were from Radford. Yeah. And they now I think are in New York, but they make like a lot of like really cool, like music related content.
Yeah, you probably know them from their hit remix of the popular YouTube video, The Pixar Theory.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And it's a
real banger.
Totally. So I bring it up because we made this video, I believe. Okay, so here's the thing. Yeah, we were back when you and Beth were expecting the twins. We knew that you were going to be taking your paternity leave and taking like a series of weeks away from the office. And the Gregory brothers had reached out to us at one point in time about like songifying one of our theories that we could then like make into a video upload. And we were like, oh, this is going to be perfect because Jay is going to be out during this period of weeks. And that would give us like a video that we could upload sort of like while he's not there.
Yeah.
You know, and it could potentially be like a good way to sort of like make sure that we were still putting out and adhering to the schedule that we've always adhered to,
right?
You know, without like missing anything. And so they came through and delivered the Pixar Theory, the song.
Yes, they did.
Which is just absolutely amazing and hilarious. And it like blows my mind sometimes that you could go on iTunes and search Super Carlin Brothers and find that we have something there.
That we do.
You know, like with art and everything. It's truly glorious. And I remember like being like, oh my gosh, like it would be so wild if like something extraordinary happened from this. And you know, so with the Gregory brothers, who are really great to work with and everything, they were like, yeah. And so like, you know, basically like here's how it goes down. Like, you know, and then once it's on iTunes, like you guys will like collect the royalties from like anything, you know, that is sold in association with it. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be so cool. Like, I bet people are going to love this and they're going to download the Pixar Theory, the song, and it's going to be like a fun thing. And then it was just sort of like the video went live. It was like, you know, people told us, you know, like, oh, this is fun. Like, you know, what a cool thing or whatever. And then like, you you know, it sort of just like went like a little bit radio silent. And for years, I was always sort of like, it's so weird that we never heard anything about like the, like getting, like receiving anything from the, like the iTunes song.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, from where people had downloaded it and stuff. And, you know, let's see. So the boys will be 4 in February.
Yeah.
So like we're coming up on this having been out for 4 years, just shy.
Gosh.
I know, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting on that front too. But we got an email from the Gregory brothers like 2 weeks ago, and they were like, hey boys, guess what? You finally crossed the threshold to take a withdrawal, which was $200.
Wow.
Which is in 4 years, how much the Pixar Theory song had been able to successfully generate. And it was just one of those things where I was like, this is like such a comical underperformance.
Hey, or Ben, or if something. It's one thing we know about us, it's that we don't know about music.
And we just don't know. I mean, they do, and I think they did an amazing job.
If you haven't heard it, it's available on iTunes.
Yes, it is. We will link to it in the description down below.
It feels like one of those songs, though. Like I like that. It feels like it could be like a TikTok. It could have like a 2 week run as like a TikTok sound. You know,
it does feel like. Know. That yeah like, yeah like
there's
like it could have its moment.
It could have its moment where it's like it's the like there's always those one of my least favorite kind of successful videos on TikTok is when I see other people like they'll play this like kind of suspenseful dramatic music and it'll be like, it took me 20 years watching Toy Story to realize this, and it'll be like, or like Monsters Inc, and it'll be like, wait a minute, there's this poster, cut to Monsters Inc. Oh my God, that poster's in the closet. What? And it's just like, dude, you just pointed out one Easter egg that is like well known.
Your whole piece of content one Easter egg.
I'm just like, it infuriates me when I see that content like that has so many like thousands of hundred thousands of views or whatever. And I'm like, dude, I've made like video essays around that one little Easter egg you just pointed out. And it's like that even the point you're making isn't even like true. You know,
sure, like, sure, sure, sure. Like it's not like an expansion on the story.
It's
or,
not an expansion
like,
on the story.
Yeah.
There's one in particular. I mean, there's plenty of these videos out there where it's just someone being like, "Wait a minute, did you notice this?" And it's like, I also don't believe for one hot second that the person making the video actually just noticed it.
Oh, sure.
I'm positive they just have a Wikipedia page open
to
Easter 1,000
eggs.
Easter eggs, and they're just sort of going through them. And this one caught fire.
Right.
But there's one in particular where in Monsters Inc. You can see inside of one of the monsters, one of the rooms, one of the monsters is scaring a poster that is also a poster Sid Phillips has on his wall in
Toy Story. Yeah.
And so like the little TikTok plays and you see him go in there and the person's like, oh my God, Sid scared this monster or whatever. And that's like the takeaway from the TikTok. And it's like, if you play that clip for 1 second longer, his little helper dude says, she was only 5, you know, and it's like, it wasn't like, it is verified in movie that it wasn't Sid, that it was a little girl. And it's like, just, but so stuff like that drives me crazy. But anyway, I can see the Pixar Theory song being like a different sound you could use for a similar thing where it's like, wait a minute, this was there? Everything is part of the Pixar, you know, Or it could just be then a sound for like, isn't it weird when things are connected?
Right.
It doesn't have to be inside of Pixar. It's just like, did you ever notice this and this? Everything's part of the Pixar Theory.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this would be like a life bingo card. Well, and I mean, I'm still not on social media for like a year and a half at this point, but it does feel like one of the things that would have been like so aspirational would be to like be like a viral TikTok sound of some kind.
Yeah.
Like to have said something in such a like put together such a manner of words that ultimately yielded like just infinite use.
Right.
It's like, oh man, there's so many people who are going to use this.
Yeah, this is going to be out there.
Such a hooting and hollering
good
time.
Someday, maybe you never know with TikTok what's gonna like pop off.
What could be the
someday.
Next
day? I mean, or like what was it in Stranger Things? It was that Kate Bush song, the Running Up That Hill.
Oh yes, you know? Yes, yes, yes.
It's just like, hey, yeah, just 40 years later, casually topping charts for almost no reason. not no reason. I mean, obviously the song was very good, and it just suddenly was like the song being used in like the climax of one of the best shows on TV. So
right, yeah, there's that. There's
not
that.
For no yeah. reason, not but no, yeah. it is yeah. just funny that it had a resurgence.
I personally sort of love that though. Like I feel like that's like you know, it'd be so cool to be an artist and to have made all of these things, mm-hmm. and then just like all of a sudden have this like weird lottery effect happen, just like way down the line. Like a total renaissance of yeah. your work.
Maybe when we're doing Popcorn Recultured, we'll be like, hey.
Yes. Right. That's the dream, Jay. That's the dream.
That's the dream.
So at some point, we're going to have to stop Popcorn Culture so that we can eventually re-begin Popcorn Recultured. Or does it just eventually become cultured in time? It just grows bacteria over the place.
Gosh. All right. What else were we talking about?
Okay. Let's see if I've got anything else. Also at this time last year, this is maybe more like resolutions of 2023. So I had a couple of big wins, which was that this time last year I was literally wearing my running attire in preparation. I think I was doing my second run leading up to the Rock and Roll marathon in Nashville, mm-hmm, which I did. I checkmarked.
Nice.
Probably one of the hardest physical endeavors I've ever done in my entire life.
Excellent.
And kind of hilariously, I think we've talked about this on the Pop Once Upon a Time before, but it's I did the exact thing, which was I picked a goal. I got all into it. It was like your Peloton for a month.
Yeah.
A month a day in the
month of April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peloton a day in the month of April.
April. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in May.
Not in May.
But like, you know, you put all this effort in and the goal and the hope is that like, okay, maybe what will come out of the other side of this is I will have like established a new good habit that mm-hmm. I will then, you know, like it's like, yes, I put the marathon like finishing like, you know, check mark the bucket list item on the pedestal. And it was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then maybe afterwards I'll just be like a runner again. And that'll be like part of what I do. And sure enough, I did the exact trope, which was that I trained and trained and trained and, you know, went out and I was like in the cold weather. I was in the elements, you know, like, I mean, there were days where it was like raining on us and it was like 33 degrees, where if it was like 1 degree colder, it would have been snow, but instead it was just painfully cold.
Right.
You know, finally got out there, managed to get through the race, crossed the finish line, and that was the last time I ran this year.
Right. It's like you put that carrot on the stick and it was highly motivating, but the second you got the carrot, you were done. It's like, that's it.
I know.
Yeah, I wanted was the carrot, man.
Yes, I did it. I did it. So yeah, that was a big one. And so now, like, you know, as I'm kind of staring down the barrel at 2024 and trying to decide, like, you know, what would be like the big aspiration, like what would be something that like I would like to you know put before myself, mm-hmm. as something that I can kind of like work towards, because we, you know, it's this happens during times of the year. I always think about this during the month, or like the month, the like during the summer season, is that, you know, when you're younger and in your like, you know, middle school, high school years, summer is like the time you get to go and like spend so much time with friends because there's so much available, you know, time to be used, like, and you're not preoccupied with other stuff. And one of the things I feel like that I've discovered as an adult is that now when the summer months roll about, everybody is so busy with like, you know, like everybody's traveling on a slightly different schedule. Everybody's got like, you know, trips here, vacations,
right,
you know, whatever. And so a lot of times I think I get to summer and I'm like, oh man, it's about to go down. Like so many adventures about to happen.
Right.
And then and then like the summer's over and you're sort of like, oh wow, okay, well I really didn't see as many people as I thought I was going to over this summer.
Like, yeah, like when when you're a kid, your family has like maybe a big trip they're going on and that takes up like 1 week, and in the rest of the time you as a kid are free to do whatever you want. But as an adult, like that's still true. Everyone's family's taking like a trip here and there, but because everyone's taking a trip that they've already planned, everyone isn't always in the same place to do all the things you want to do hanging out wise.
At the same time. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that like the fourth quarter of each year ends up being very similar to this for me, where it ends up being like, you know, I'm like, man, I don't really feel like I've been like chasing any of like my hobbies or pursuits or anything like that, you know, for like a minute.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because like, you know, we enter into October, we go really hard, like, you know, with Go Fest.
Yeah.
And then there's been, I've been doing those When We Were Young music festivals in October as well. We've got Addison's birthday, my birthday. So it's just, you know, lots of like big weekends pre-allocated for those respective activities. And then you get into the month of November and it's sort of like everything starts like focus on, you know, Thanksgiving and like, how are you going to get together for that?
Right.
And then the holidays, you know, in the month of December, it's just like, you know, it's full tilt every weekend, all the time and always.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like I feel like I'm in that position where like I'm thinking so much where I'm like, okay, it's about to be a new year. It's about to be resolution time. What am I going to do?
Right.
And I'm just like, my brain is just like blank. I'm like, I've got nothing.
Don't know.
Nothing coming into this new year. What about you? Do you, anything you're like hoping to do, want to do?
Oh man. I don't know if I have like a specific, yeah, like aspiration. The last year I had planned on doing the Richmond half marathon.
Yeah. You are cursed.
I know. Well, I mean, I have
at least three different occasions.
I've signed up to do a half marathon and gotten and had to cancel for one reason or another. That has been a bummer. So I've sort of been eyeballing the Shamrock half marathon, which is in Virginia Beach, the Shamrock and Roll. I think it's the same company that did the Nashville one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I think it's just another rock and roll one, but because it's on St. Patrick's Day, they call it the Shamrock and Roll.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah, good wordplay. Good wordplay.
Yeah. I know that one, ironically, I have that, like, not to like continue the curse or anything, but that is one. Of the three I've signed up for, that's been two of them.
No way you've signed up for and then not been able to do.
And then not been able to do.
So this dates back to, I think,
like high school.
Yeah, like 2003 maybe.
Yeah.
Because I did one of them when like we were training together like with dad for also a rock and roll half marathon in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Over this like Labor Day weekend or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, maybe it wasn't the Shamrock one, but it was a rock and roll marathon at Virginia Beach.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is where the Shamrock one is as well.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah. So that was like when I was like 14, you were 16, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that zip code. Yeah. And then again, it seems like it must have been like 8 years ago at this point in time. You were doing like a training program with like a local running company.
Yep. And then just had like a pulled IT band on the 11-mile training run, and that was sort of it for that. And then this year I had signed up again. I had like a coach I was working with, and I was very excited. I was like, I've got a plan. I'm gonna do it. Just gonna have a schedule, do the schedule. But then like not even related to running, I just like pulled something in my glutes, and I mean you guys remember, I'm sure, the episode where I couldn't even sit down because I was in so much pain.
And
like,
yes,
I was thinking about that the other day, like, right, as of like, you know, now I'm like, you know, perfectly healed and stuff, and I've been running and biking and stuff like that, so it hasn't been a problem. And I'm like, was it even really that bad? And it's like, it's so hard to remember pain.
It is.
You know, and it's like, so... was I just being a baby? It's like, no, it was that bad. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So anyway, I know, part of me is like, just go for it, like try and actually finally do it. And part
break
of me,
the curse.
I know, break the curse. And part of me is just like, am I willing to, because then even if I do that one, like in that time frame is when we're going on our cruise to Disney. So it's like, I'll definitely miss some amount of training to the cruise itself.
Oh, that's true.
Unless
that's
I'm
true.
Running on the boat, which I guess you can do. I don't know.
Could you imagine running 8 miles on a boat that's actively traveling through the sea?
Don't mind me, guys.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I bet some people do it.
Almost certainly. I mean, there's got to be like a jogging path,
gotta
right?
Got to be something, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I'm down. Yeah, okay, count me in. We can go for a big long run.
We'll just do a nice little run there. Yeah.
Love it. Okay, transition?
Transition! Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like, a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ben, I have an update on the sled situation in my house.
I know you do.
I know, because you were there to help me.
I was indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as the recap.
Yeah. As the recap, there is just this ledge in my living room where the Christmas tree is. And for as long as I have lived in my house, I have thought there has been this old wooden like sled that almost looks like a stroller or something. It's got like a handle where you could like push it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has been in our family for like over 100 years.
Yeah.
And it used to be up at our grandparents' house, and it's made its way to our parents' house. And I was like, Dad, could I put the sled up there as like decoration? He was like, absolutely. I love it. I think that sled was born for that spot. And I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
We're on the same page. And so he brings it over and I go to put it up there, and there's this like light bulb, like a tube.
Yeah. Like a fluorescent tube.
Yeah,
bulb.
A fluorescent tube bulb, which I knew was up there, but it turns out that it is so up against the wall and so screwed down that one of the sled runners, right?
Yeah.
Runners. Yeah.
Why not?
One of the blades won't fit between the light and the wall. And there's no way to do it. I'm going to have to like get up there and, unscrew it or whatever. And that turned out to be like a little bit challenging to go through. But so finally this past weekend, you came over, had enough hands on deck to where we could like actually work on it. And you got up there and you were able to like unscrew the whole thing, and we moved it, and we finally got the sled up there. And I was like, all right, here we go. It's about to be up there, only to discover that even though now we could fit one of the sled blades against the wall behind the light, that the sled is actually too wide by like an inch to rest the other blade on the ledge. It's like it would be falling off. And I was like, this is so annoying and not meant to be. And like, it's like an inch, you know, it's so close to fitting up there. And it would look so good. And I just, it's like,
I know.
And at this point, it's like, as of recording this, it's like 5 days till Christmas. It's like, I think if I'm going to do it, it's like, I got to rethink the whole dream here and get like a ledge extender or something.
A ledge extender. I know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there certainly is a way to do it. We could also just like, you know, slap some bolts up in your ceiling and just dangle it from the sky.
Just dangle it, you know?
Like, I mean, sleighs are meant to fly.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. We could, that'd be a whole different project. Just like, yeah, just string it up from the ceiling, give it a full Santa effect, add some reindeer.
Absolutely.
You know, make this just like a full on project.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We can commit to it year round. And then by the time next Christmas rolls around, it's going to be perfect.
You know, yep. That would be, it'd be tricky. We need a huge ladder because the ceiling gets very high at that point.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
But yeah. You know, you got to think about the end goals.
I know. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, like, this is one of those things like where people who like really go all out for the holidays and like, right, you know, decorate like and have all the stuff and everything. It's like they must, in addition to having all of the stuff and having spent the money to invest in everything,
yeah,
they also must have a rather sophisticated like system of like both electrical wire management, because like, you know, if you've got like 95 different inflatables in your front yard, it's like, that's, yeah, a whole bunch of cords that need to be going places.
Oh, I know.
And then you got to store these things somewhere.
Exactly. Man, yeah.
I don't know how people do it.
It's a lot of stuff going on. So anyway, it doesn't look like the sled is going to get up there. As for the timer on the lights, which... this was so funny. I don't know if you guys have seen these yet, but the new podcast editor, the popcorn culture editor, Isabel, has been doing little animations of some of our conversations.
Yes,
which
indeed.
Is like, oh my God, I love it. It's so much. It's so funny. I think they are perfect. And if you haven't seen them, you should go check them out. It's like little popcorn culture animated. It's super fun. But she made one of me talking about there was no way for me to go change the timer because the act of like going out the door got the children too rambunctious. And I sent the animation to Beth and she thought it was, first of all, hilarious because she knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But then after she got the animation, she like texted me back like 2 minutes later and was like, I fixed the lights. Thanks for the reminder. And I was like, exactly. Like, that's how long it would have taken. Clearly you were inside of a window of opportunity during like quiet time or something. You just went out there and fixed it and done. And now they come on in the morning. So that part has been fixed.
I know. I thought the hilarious thing for me was that I also sent the animation to my wife Alice, who then was like, wait, should we have our lights on early in the morning?
In the morning,
and,
yeah.
And then I was like,
and you were like, wait, I'm gonna have to go figure out the timer.
I'm like, don't make me go out there. Yeah. This'll never happen.
It's not gonna work. Didn't you see the cartoon? Yeah, so there's that. This is like I had like the same phenomenon happening last night though. So yesterday, God, if you listened to After the Final Pop last week, you'll know that we earlier this week did a Pringles challenge.
Yes, we did. You did.
Yeah.
I abstained.
Yeah, you did, which is probably for the better. I might be suffering from Pringle poisoning, but. But what happened was last week, I forget even what the circumstances were, but we were discussing in office how fast we thought a single person could eat an entire tube of Pringles.
Yes, pipe of Pringles.
A pipe of Pringles, a tube of Pringles.
A sleeve,
you know, just a standard size can of Pringles. And Isabel, the editor, told her boyfriend, he thought it was hilarious. And so we came out of recording the pop, the last week's episode, and he was just there with four tubes of Pringles for me and him and you and I.
I know, this was... This was
Ethan, sorry.
It reminded me so much of like early GMA days.
It was such a, yes.
Like, it was like one of those things, like we were talking about it in such a capacity. I was like, oh, what a fun thing to think about. Okay, that's that. And then this was like, but like, I know that, like... like high school age, college age, us would have been like, oh yeah, it's on. It's like, should we drop everything we're doing and go use all $11 we all collectively have to buy four cans of Pringles?
Right. Yeah. And then make ourselves sick with it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So the
challenge was, could you finish, you couldn't use water, but just could you eat the entire tube of Pringles in under 10 minutes? And I don't want to brag, but yes.
Yes.
Actually, I am going to brag because I paid dearly for it. It's for these bragging rights. So prepare to hear them.
Yeah.
Yes. So ultimately, yeah, Ben didn't do it, but me and Ethan and Isabel's boyfriend also did it. And we were going through, I think it took me 8 minutes and 40 seconds to finish the whole tube.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think Ethan did it in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. And I think Aaron didn't finish at all.
Yeah.
So unfortunate for him.
So sad. That's okay.
That's okay. Well done.
Valiant
Probably
effort.
For the better.
Yeah.
Because almost immediately afterwards, I just had like an upset stomach. And Beth had like a stomach bug last Friday. And so I'm not sure whether I was suffering from like Pringle poisoning or from just caught the stomach bug, or if I caught or if in the process of getting sick with said stomach bug, also decided to down a tube of Pringles.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Some combination of that was happening. And I was completely out of work all day yesterday, either from Pringle poisoning or stomach bug. But that's not even the point of the story.
Okay. What's the point of the story?
The point of the story is that getting back to the kids, like the fluctuating atmosphere of the house and like what the kids will pick up on.
Yeah.
Is like last night I'm like sitting there and I'm like mostly recovered from my Pringle poisoning and I'm sitting there on the couch and it's like, normally this is what I might strike up a game of Gears with the children. They're recognizing like I'm on the couch. It's nighttime. Like, let's go. Well, you want to play Gears? And I'm like, I really can't. I'm not like, I'm still in a recovery mode here. And I just want to sit and like not be bothered and just like chill. And like, I don't want to be upstairs sitting like alone in my room because like I've been up there all day just like being in pain. Like, I want to be downstairs with the family.
Right.
But like, I can't really do anything either.
Yes. So, yeah.
But like, no matter what, every time I sit down, a child comes and jumps on me or needs me to go do something or play with them or something. And I'm just like, I just gave up. I'm like, I can't sit down here. I can't sit down here because my presence is just making you guys crazy.
Right.
And so it's like, I just like went upstairs and sure enough, the three of them went on to just play by themselves, you know, yes, which was nice. And Beth's like, oh, I was just sitting down there. I was like, yeah, I can't do that. Like, it doesn't work for me. You can sit down there. They won't come bother you. If I'm sitting there, it's making them crazy.
No, me and you share this one thing in common. I mean, you have more children than I do, 3 to 1 at least. And but I do have the two dogs at my house, and it's the exact same. Like, if I walk into the house and plop down on my couch, then within seconds, both dogs and Addie will be on top of me.
Yeah.
Like actively like climbing all over my person.
Right.
And like Alice will be like sitting in the rocking chair across the way, just like laughing up a storm because she's like, they don't do this to me. I don't know what's going on.
I know.
I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, why is it like this?
Yeah. It's like, and it's usually like, I don't usually care because usually I can just get up and play with them.
Right.
Like,
of course. Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to do. It's like on this occasion, it was more problematic because of either Pringles or sponges, but
it's
all right. We made it through.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Yes.
Made me it through too. The other side. Yeah. So it's one of those things where I feel like it was such an easy to pitch concept, which is just like, because I mean, really what it reminds me the most of is like whether or not you can eat, people say like you can't eat like 5 saltine crackers in 1 minute.
Yeah. I think that's what we were talking about that led to this.
Yeah. And so that's like one of those challenges where it's like 5 saltine crackers, especially like if just laid before you, seems like such an insubstantial amount of like food to consume that it's like, of course I can do that. Like, that's no problem. And then you put them in your mouth and it dries your mouth out so immediately that you're like, oh no. And you're like chewing through like cement basically.
Yes.
And so the big question was like whether or not the Pringles were going to be the same way. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, are we inventing like a challenge here? Like, is this going to be like a thing?
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like I feel like you and Ethan and Aaron all had sort of like bad side effects from like eating too much processed Pringle food.
Yes.
And it was sort of like, maybe this is not a good idea.
I know. Yeah. I was just like, this was, you know what? There was a challenge and I did it and it was super, you're right. It was very like, in fact, even immediately afterwards, I texted Mike and John and was like, guys, new challenge.
Guess what?
Who can do it?
Yeah.
And like later that day, like they were texting like, Mike, did you get it? No. Did you? It was like, oh, I got the bag, but I haven't done it yet. You know?
Right. Like, we should probably send him a quick warning. Like, guys, abort mission.
Definitely not.
Not going to give him that warning. No, no, no. Not this close to the holidays.
Come on, man. Yeah. They'll be fine.
Yeah, be all right, be all right.
Mike can totally do it, too. You've seen that guy has a huge mouth.
Man, he does. Like, he does. Yeah. He has the exact... Me and Mike are like polar opposites, and maybe yeah. that's why we're such good friends. But I have the least amount of mouth volume known to man.
Yeah,
like, right. It's just like there's just not a lot of room in there to like hold stacks of chips and such.
Yeah, right. Like handful of M&Ms, laughable.
Laughable. I know. One by one. That's how I got to do it. But then we literally, I think when we were in high school, we would, whenever we would go to cross country meets, it was always a big thing for like one of the parents of each of the athletes on the team to bring fruit. And so
grapes
were this like really big one. It was actually extremely comical because like the team mom would like send out these like extremely forceful emails that were like in all caps, like
in the subject line. Yeah.
Yeah. Like grapes. We need grapes.
Like urgent. We need grapes.
Yes. So I feel like she must have worked in like an industry that was like very like high stress, where it was sort of like this is like the way like ideas were communicated.
Yeah.
But like to anybody who isn't used to this form of communication, it was always sort of like, okay, there will be grapes.
Yeah.
Like,
calm you down.
Know. But either way, as a result, we typically came up with lots of games like, you know, throwing grapes in the air and seeing if you could catch them in your mouth and like whatever. But one of the other things that we did was how many grapes can you fit in your mouth at once? And I feel like I'm like a 13 guy.
I don't know.
Even that seems kind of steep. Yeah.
You're 13. Are you?
But I feel like Mike was like 53.
Mike was like, don't even try to compete with this kid.
But like all I was really trying to do the whole time was set up the baseline. I know Mike was like 53, and I know that I was like comically small by comparison.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like just not even close.
Yeah, it was like wow.
Right.
But yeah, so.
There you go. Yeah, are you good at catching food in your mouth?
You know, this is historically no.
Really?
This has not been something I've been like very good at, but I am on the hot streak. We go to like hibachi dinners every once and again, and they do like the shrimp toss. And I think on my last three visits, I'm 3 for 3.
Wow.
So I know. I mean, I'm not even bragging because I'm certain I just ruined it for myself.
Yeah.
Like the next time I go, that'll be it. I'm done. I'm out.
Right.
Can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yep. It was a grapes thing. I was at a Virginia Tech football game, and I was tailgating with a friend in high school, and like they had some game where it was like, you know, we were taking a grape in your hand and like doing like an underhand toss, but trying to throw it as high in the air as possible and then catch it in your mouth.
Ooh,
so like
a good challenge,
you know, which by the time it's coming back down, it is moving, you know? Like, so
terminal velocity.
Yeah. It's moving very fast for something you're trying to catch in your mouth. And I remember like, we spent like a while doing this, and I got home and I was like, I'm going to get good at doing this, and just doing like regular toss it in your mouth.
Right. So, no, I was going to say, I feel like you're good at this.
I think I am fairly good at like catching stuff in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but just a random hidden talent of mine.
I know. Well, maybe what we should make, Jay, is like, kind of like goldfish, but we can make them like ducks, and then we can have like duck and cup.
Oh yeah,
cheddar snacks. You know, and you throw them up in the air and try to catch them in your mouth.
There you go. That sounds great. Yes, yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah,
that could be good.
Okay,
that's a worthwhile idea.
Yeah, we need some kind of fun. There's got to be some sort of fun duck cheese pun out there.
Certainly. We're probably dancing all around it
right now.
People
and everybody's are like, guys, it's right there.
They're screaming at the radio. Come on.
Yeah. I feel like, I do feel like it's circling right there. People are like, guys, it's
quackers.
Right there. Yeah. Quackers. There. That's obviously it.
That's okay, obviously thank you. It. Yeah. Oh man. We got there. Don't worry. We got there.
Yes.
Oh get man. What a relief for everybody at home.
Get your cheese quackers. There
yes,
you go.
Cheese quackers.
Oh my gosh.
It.
Oh wow. Whew. Man, I do. That was going to drive me crazy. I was going to like call you in the middle of the night and be like, quackers, man.
And I wouldn't have even needed context. I'm like, no.
I was like, what was that? And you'd be like, no way.
Yeah, right.
Did he say quackers? Like, it makes sense. I got it. I understood.
Like, okay.
All right, you guys. Yeah, whatever.
Coming to a mercantile near you.
Yes.
All right. Transition again?
Transition. Okay, Ben. Last week, we were talking about how one of the real bummers about being, you know, aspiring treasure hunters where do you start? Like, is there like a good, well-known treasure that hasn't been found?
If there is, I want to know.
Well, Ben, good news for you.
It's all happening. Right. This is it.
I mean, possibly.
Are you about to explain to us our future legacy?
I mean, maybe. This would be cool. This is such a cool legacy, by the way.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yes.
I know. I've seen National Treasure. I know who the coolest person to ever be imagined is.
I'll get the lemons for the Constitution. Yeah. Right. Declaration of Independence or whatever.
Yeah. Come on.
Man, there's nothing about the National Treasure that bothers me more than the scene where they put the lemon juice on the back of the paper and then they look at each other and they breathe.
Yeah.
And there's like, it's like,
I know. It's like this weirdly like sort of like they're like it's making very, it romantic or something.
It's
but
very
like
breathy.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so continue though.
Get your breath off the Declaration of Independence, guys.
But for real. Show some respect.
After you stole it.
Respect is gone. It's like clean out the window.
You already put lemon juice on it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are you doing? Anyway, so we were on a call last night with some of our patrons over on Patreon.
Yes, we were.
Yes, we were. And we were discussing pirates because we've both been watching the show Our Flag Means Death.
Yes. Which if you're a fan of like Thor Ragnarok and like that kind of like Taika Waititi humor, I think he either writes it. He's in it.
He's in it.
But it is absolutely just like that kind of just like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is nonstop. It is a very wackadoo show about pirates.
Yeah.
But it follows the characters of Steed Bonnet.
Yes.
The gentleman pirate.
Yes.
And then he runs into Blackbeard,
yes,
who is like a Steed Bonnet in the show is like a terrible pirate. He's just sort of like a rich guy who fancied being a pirate. So he's like, I guess I'll just be a pirate for fun. And then he meets Blackbeard, and Blackbeard is, of course, like the best pirate ever. Yeah. But, you know, he's getting kind of bored of it. So they're just sort of learning from each other on the show. Yeah. And it's just sort of like comical because Blackbeard's supposed to be ruthless and Steed is so bad at being ruthless.
Yeah, like it's like one of his mottos is like talk it out like on the boat,
right? Like on like the first episode he's like having his crew like doing out, arts and crafts
yeah they're all like stitching flags.
Yeah it's a really weird show but very funny at the same time.
It is
it has a very particular sense of humor about it. However, the point is that when as I'm watching the show, as I'm learning on the call last night, though, because we were talking about it, that apparently Steed Bonnet was a real person.
I know.
And I was like, what? Steed Bonnet was actually a real life person who went by the Gentleman Pirate?
Yes.
And I was like, that is crazy. And then this might just sound like completely ignorant to me as well, but like, even just like Blackbeard comes up so much in every version of any pirate story ever. It's like, oh, there's Blackbeard again. Yeah. It's like, to me, it's like Blackbeard just sort of a fixture of pirate lore. But it's like, oh no, he was real too.
Right.
And I was like, wait a minute. How many pirates that I've heard of are real? Like, then you start wondering like, wait, like how many pirates that I think were fictional are actual real pirates? And it's like, I would have put Blackbeard and Steed Bonnet in the same category as like Long John Silver and Jack Sparrow.
And
those last two are fictional pirates.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yes.
So no Long John Silver. That's just a fast
food
eatery.
That's just from Treasure Planet.
Oh, Treasure Planet.
Treasure Island.
Treasure Island.
From Treasure Island, which Treasure Planet is based on.
Okay. But then what about
Jack Sparrow is just from Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I know that one. But isn't Long John Silver also?
Long John Silver is based on Treasure Island too.
No. The restaurant is.
Yes.
Okay, the restaurant. Okay,
the restaurant.
Gotcha.
The restaurant is named after the character in the book. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I'm surprised they were able to get away with that. But yeah.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so continue then.
But so, yeah. Anyway, and then I was wondering, I was looking through, I just went on Google and looked up, list of, most famous real pirates. And there's, 15 more pop up. And I'm like, God, I've heard of, a good number of these. All right. Wow.
I'm remarkably well-versed in pirates. Go me.
I just thought so many, because pirates are like such a fun fictional there's so many fiction stories about pirates that you just sort of assume that that they're just the characters are fake, but they're based on real people a lot of the time.
I think the thing for me was I can't even remember what the name of the movie is now. It's Captain Something with Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
but he's driving a freighter out at sea, and the pirates in that particular situation are sort of commandeering the boat, which is otherwise minimally staffed.
Yeah,
and so but they're not out there in like a pirate ship. They're out there just in like small boats
yeah.
with ladders that they can like throw over the edge. Like once, and then like once they're up there and they have the right. intent to like cause harm.
Right.
Or,
like they have weapons and right. you don't. So.
Exactly. And like, I feel like that has always been one of those things that sort of like recontextualized the idea of a pirate. And it was sort of like almost everything we've ever seen about pirates in my mind all of a sudden became more like a work of fiction. And
right.
it seemed like what we were uncovering last night is like, no, there are in fact like famous pirates and like some of like, I mean, I'm sure it's never as whimsical and always far more dangerous.
Right.
You know, yeah. like in terms of.
Yeah. But I think it's a lot less swinging on ropes and cannon battles and buccaneering the way you think about it.
Right. 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 Yes.
There's actually like a really good CGP Grey video about how pirates work. And
okay.
it's like most of pirating is more about like branding.
Okay.
it's like you think about like the Jolly Roger, for example, like the flag with
yes.
like the black flag with the skull and the crossed swords or whatever.
Right, right, right. Yep.
Right. It's like, but like you'd think like, why would you ever like run the Jolly Roger? Wouldn't that just announce that you're pirates? Wouldn't people run from you? Wouldn't that like alert, you know, the Navy to come stop you or whatever?
Right.
Like, why would you have a flag? That seems so stupid. And it's like, well, they don't run it all the time. They run other flags until they get close to you, and then they run the Jolly Roger, and then you see that they're pirates, and because you know you're gonna lose, you just sort of either negotiate like, okay, how about this, like I give you a bunch of money and you don't kill my crew, and they're like, yeah, that sounds good to us, thanks,
reasonable,
thanks
enough, we'll take it,
we won't kill anybody, and everyone walks away happy except you because you don't have as much money as you did,
right? But now we do.
Yeah, but basically it seems like it's more about like pointing the guns than shooting the guns,
right?
You know?
Right. Yes. It's almost like at some point in time, somebody needed to establish the threat was significant enough. And then
right.
everything from then after is just sort of like fear of that thing happening again.
Right. And it's like sort of like, even if you're equipped, even if you've got weapons on board, it's like, all right, it's like the pirates are like, yeah, no, we're here to tussle. So it's either you give us the loot without the tussle, or we go ahead and tussle it up and we'll just see. If you think you can beat us, that's great. But like even if you do beat us, it's not like no one's gonna walk away unharmed on your end.
Right.
You know?
That's true. It's like there will be casualties,
yeah, there
no
will
matter
be,
what.
Yeah, like yeah. our flag means death, you know? So
right. Oh yeah, yeah, I see. That's so, the
yeah.
reference. See, that's you the name
may
of the show.
As well, you may, that's yeah, I think that's what they're gonna, I bet in the show they get to like the flag being branding at some point.
Well, even the fact that he you know, Steed gives himself the name of the Gentleman Pirate, it's almost like the character, as inept as he is at being an actual pirate,
yeah.
seems to actually fully understand that, like, hey, like, when it comes down to it, it's like, what I need is the reputation.
Right.
Like, I mean, and he's being silly about it. Like, I feel like,
yeah.
I can't even say, like, he's accidentally being good at establishing a reputation attached to this,
right.
this moniker.
Yeah, well, actually, even as I'm saying it, I think there is an episode where, like, Blackbeard is feeling, like, really like bored with being a pirate, and he's like, I don't even have to be on the ship anymore, people just know it's my ship and they surrender,
right? Right.
And it's
right,
like
yes.
yes, exactly, that's, but like that's, so he's bored because pirating is no longer like buccaneering and swinging around,
it's not a challenge,
it's
yeah.
just become like it's too easy,
yeah. I pull up, they hand over all their valuables and then we leave, and so now I've got more riches than
yes.
I know what to do with.
So anyway, I was like, I just watched One Piece as well, which is another amazing pirate show you should watch on Netflix.
Okay.
Or just watch the anime if you've got like a free 500 hours,
1,000 episodes.
There's just 1,000 of it. It's very long. But I was like, okay, is Blackbeard in One Piece? Because he at least wasn't in the first season.
Okay.
But I was like, this is like the ultimate pirate anime. It's going on for 1,000 episodes.
Like, surely.
Certainly they have a Blackbeard character.
At this point in time, they've accidentally included him.
Right.
It seems.
And like, sure enough, they do. He's a huge antagonist. We just haven't met in the show yet because he's not like, you know, season one baddie level. You
got
know?
It. Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, yeah, later on. So there's that. And then I was like, okay. So clearly he's in there. And then I was like, is Steed Bonnet a One Piece character? And I guess he is, but it didn't seem like there was an obvious picture. So I don't know if he's just in like games or something. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, sure.
But anyway, but then the whole story about One Piece is that at the beginning of the show, there's this character called Gold Roger, and
okay.
the Navy has finally captured him. And before he dies, his final words to this giant crowd of people are, I've hidden my massive treasure, the One Piece, out there.
To be
found, whoever finds it shall become king of the pirates. And it's like, so like the Navy, in giving him his final words, has just turned an entire massive crowd of people into pirates who now want to find, like, they've caught the big one, but now they have 1,000 more problems.
Right.
So yep, it's like, okay, he gets this sort of like last revenge in there or whatever.
I like
that. So I was like, okay. Is Gold Roger based on a real pirate? Like, is this guy? And I looked it up, and it turns out then that there was a guy named it says he is likely based on the real life pirate Olivier Levasseur, who was a French pirate nicknamed Le Buse, or the Buzzard, or La Bouche, the mouth, in his early days for the speed and ruthlessness with which he always attacked his enemies, as well as his ability to verbally attack his opponents. He is known for allegedly hiding one of the biggest treasures in pirate history, estimated at over £1 billion, and leaving a cryptogram behind with clues to its whereabouts.
£1 billion?
£1 billion, Ben! £1 billion out there, and it has apparently never been found.
No way.
I know, with a cryptogram and everything, my goodness.
I mean, it seems like it's so, and I'm like, the part of me that wants it to be real immediately was like, okay, ears up. And then it's also like, it's like, how would it have not been found?
How would it have not been,
like,
found?
It reminds me so much of Ready Player One, where it's like, how did it take so long for anybody to find a key?
Yeah, I know. Right?
It's like, no way. Like, everybody's been looking and nobody's ever done it.
Nobody,
like,
looked on Ludus, Ben, you know?
Nobody looked on Ludus.
The old school system.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this guy, you know, that's like July 17th. 30, that's when he died, so it's been a good 300 years here.
I know, but this also feels like such an ironic revenge. Like, I mean, exactly like as you described in One Piece, where it's like, it's such a good way to like leave by being like, haha, I may. It's Schrodinger's treasure.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like until it's been found, it either does or doesn't exist. I know, it's both.
I know. So that is, I don't know if he was doing it as some kind of revenge. This is only me reading like one paragraph or whatever. You know?
Right.
I'm not sure if he was like, ha ha ha, I'll show you, I'll turn a whole generation of people into pirates.
Right.
Something like that.
Is there any possibility that this is what birthed like Steed Bonnet in the first place? Like a similar kind of call, you know, because like I think part of the novelty of Steed as a character is that like he was basically at least somewhat wealthy
landowner.
Yeah, so like, you know, he's living a life that I feel like in lots of stories plenty of people would have gone to quite extraordinary lengths just to simply have the life he already had,
right?
Like, and then for him to optionally leave it for a life of piracy feels like even for a pirate, to me, on some level, it almost feels like your end goal would just be to be where he started.
Right.
Which would
be to
like go and collect enough treasure to where you don't need to go and be on the high seas anymore.
Right.
Like, you can just go and live a life of luxury, of comfort.
Well, and such is the plot of the show, that like Steed is so wealthy and so like doesn't need to do anything that the monotony of his life has led him to the sea, and Blackbeard's success as a pirate has led him to such monotony that he no longer wants to be on the sea.
Right.
So they actually end up being friends. But then this was the other thing. So you're reading about Steed Bonnet, the real life gentleman pirate. Turns out him and Blackbeard were actually friends.
No way.
Yes. Like,
what the heck?
How does this show actually have some basis?
I know.
Because it just sounds like you chose like the cheesiest pirate in the world and matched him up with the most ruthless one. And of course it's funny, but it's like, no, that was real.
Yes,
that part happened. Of course, it probably wasn't as hilarious as having these two actors, you know,
play it out.
Yeah,
but
I feel like
from what I've heard, like what we were talking about on the call last night, was that Steed Bonnet like actually paid his crew like a salary.
Yeah, like he was like the gentleman pirate,
like an actual thing. It's so interesting.
Yeah,
it's so interesting. And I mean, it's one of those things like where, you know, a lot of history that like makes its way through time, you know, it oftentimes does feel like, because it was something that was so remarkable that it merits being remembered, you know, and a lot of times that ends up being kind of bad things throughout history. And I mean, I think in a lot of ways piracy probably involved a fair bit of bloodshed, but like the idea of like being able to just simply like witness a pirate ship like in its truest form is something that, like, you know, if I had a time machine, I'm like, I would go back and I just want to see what it was like for one day, like living on a pirate ship.
Right.
You know, just go and just be like totally undercover. And
Yeah. So anyway, Ben, the answer, is there a treasure out there? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, okay. Guy. So here's the real question. Do you think that someday when we're like 65, we'll be recording Popcorn Recultured from our makeshift vessel at sea, you know, and we'll have to like come into port on occasion so we can upload our episodes.
I know, right? Maybe.
To the intersphere. Right. Unless at that point in time, there's just internet out at sea.
It's just like stuff like this, where it's like there's a giant treasure like this out there. Like, because he was like a French pirate or whatever. So it's like wherever he's like sailing around, it just seems like in the last 300 years, somebody would have accidentally found it.
I know,
right?
This is like one of those things though where it's so hard, I think, to mentally comprehend just how darn big the ocean is. Like,
right.
Because, I mean, this is one of those things like where there was a flight that Beth was all like interested in.
Oh yeah, like the lost Malaysian flight.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's like one of those things like where you would imagine like a modern day plane going down at sea, especially like with some semblance of like where it was supposed to be and when. It's like, well, surely we can go and examine that seafloor, right? Like, how hard could that be? You know, it's like when I go on Google Earth and I zoom out to the point where I can see the whole globe, it's like I can see so much ocean at once.
Right.
You know, but then it's like you get out there and it's like, oh, there's miles and miles and miles and miles and every single
direction. And
you're just
like this tiny little boat.
Yeah. You're a tiny, even if you're a huge boat, you're a tiny little boat.
Right, exactly.
So I feel like what they really need is like whatever they invented in Wakanda Forever, you know, like the device that could like scroll the bottom of the ocean, like looking for like signals or some type of like, you know, metal presence or something.
Right.
You know, that's what you need.
That's what you need.
Yeah. So we got to invent that thing.
Yeah.
Like the Mars rover, but for like underwater.
Yeah.
You know, just go drop it in the water.
Just drop it in the water. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it fall. But do you think his treasure would be underwater?
Oh, you know what? I did assume that.
Yeah.
I might be just like being like, oh, pirates of the devil. It's just like it was in a ship that went down or it was thrown overboard or I mean, but you couldn't have had £1 billion in one ship no matter what.
I know. 17. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like wherever he's stashing it all, it's got to be somewhere. He has to be able to he wants to be able to access it himself.
That's it.
You know,
we're going to go steal the Declaration of Independence.
That's because that had something to do with this guy.
Almost certainly. I mean, that treasure I would believe was £1 billion of treasure.
The Declaration of Independence?
No.
That's probably worth more than $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. It's like, what would it be worth?
How big was that heist?
Right. Yeah. No. The treasure that they find is like rooms and rooms and rooms of just like piles of gold.
Right.
In national treasure. So I would bet that by weight, it's £1 billion. Or are you referring to pounds like currency?
Currency. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I was thinking £1 billion physical pounds.
No, yeah, it's £1 billion of currency, which, I mean, if you're going by, you know, pirates, and I, because, you know, my mind obviously goes to gold. If you have £1 billion, you know, pounds worth of gold in, especially in those times, where, you know, a little money went a lot further.
Yeah. Are we adjusting for inflation here?
Yeah. I have no idea. Is it worth $1 billion today or worth $1 billion then?
I don't know.
$1 billion then would be insane.
$1 billion then now would be like unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's
like,
it's like, what made you the wealthiest person on earth? It's like, well, I found a 300-year-old pirate treasure.
So yeah.
But also even that I feel like is so storybook, like to imagine that you could like quite literally become wealthier than the people who own like Tesla, Amazon, Apple by quite literally finding treasure.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like you're going to be like wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, like being wealthy, more wealthy than the wealthiest people on the planet.
Right.
Would be
by finding treasure.
Because
someone else did it earlier.
Can you just tell? I mean, nothing makes me more excited. And it's like, I don't even want the money. I just want the hunt. Like,
I just want the hunt.
I just
want
to go out there and like find, like I can find anything of any value. And it would just like, it would be so much fun to be like, oh my gosh, I solved it. Like
I figured it out.
I think I sometimes, cause this is like what happens with Super Carlin Brothers. So like even going back to the Pixar theory, for example, it's like we go through and like, there's nothing more thrilling to me than to think that like people who are writing these stories are writing these subplots that are sending these like little shoots off in random directions, like because they are hoping that someday somebody like will find them and pull those strings and discover what was like hidden at the end of them.
Yeah.
And it's like whether or not it was ever the author's intention for us to discover the things that we've discovered, or if part of what we're doing is just injecting our own creative flavor to the story.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, I would love to think that the writers of the story, the, you know, or the directors of the films or whatever are doing these things intentionally because what they want is like someday for it to be found. But then there's also the part of me that's sort of like, they're putting so much energy just into trying to create a really good story, a good visual masterpiece, that it's like, to what like lengths could these people possibly be going to also additionally be hiding
like hidden messages,
messages like the careful eye might see it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, yeah. Like
we didn't get time to explain this, but it's there.
It's there. It's like, it's like we have a whole, there's a whole thing, you know, it's like, you didn't realize like this one character, he says this one thing, you know, you never notice how it doesn't like track, but like, you know, if you put it together with everything else, it's like, whoa, amazing.
What? Yeah.
And it's even better than the actual story when you get it, because you get that like sense of satisfaction.
Well, yeah. So once upon a time here in Roanoke, there, the local radio station, K92.
Yeah. That's not how it goes.
That's not
Q99. That was a different one. That was closer.
Yeah. Q99, the morning thing with Dick and Dave.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the morning thing. Gosh, Breakfast Club with Dick and Dave. Wow.
Was it the Breakfast Club?
It was the Breakfast Club with Dick and Dave. It's still Dick and Dave.
Is it really?
It is. K92 had the morning thing with Danny and Zach. Neither of them is there anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, once upon a time, the radio station in Roanoke, K92, they had this event called the Diamond Dash.
Yes.
And the Diamond Dash was basically like this company that would come in and they would go around like the city and they would collect all these clues, and then you would sign up for it, and you would it was like a text, like text on your phone kind of competition, where like when it started, everyone who was in the Diamond Dash would get a text on their phone and it would say like, what is the, you know, what year was the Wigmore building founded or whatever.
And which is a building here in Roanoke.
Yeah, which is a building here in Roanoke. And you would get like an address as well. And then you'd have to be on foot and you could like run to that address and, you know, look around and try and find it. And there'd be like a plaque on the wall that would say the Wigmore building founded, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then you would text back the answer. And if you were right, they would say correct. And they would send you a new clue and you'd go off on your way.
Oh, amazing.
And like... Yes. So this was coming to town one year, and I signed up for it, and me and our buddy Mike, he was like my partner in the race. And yeah. It was like, I think, and if you won, it was called the Diamond Dash because you like won some like very expensive like diamond ring.
Yeah.
Like $10,000 in value or something from, and the whole thing's like a big promotion for whatever jewelry store was doing it or whatever, but like whatever. And I remember doing it, and like I was the event, I was like so excited for it, and like not because like it would have been great to like win the diamond or whatever, but like I at the time of doing it, I was like not in a position to like propose to Beth, like
sure.
We weren't there in our relationships. I remember telling her about it, she was like, well, like, were you gonna propose? She was like, no. It's like really awkward, especially because like the whole day she was like trying to text me, and of course I could not respond because I was like in the middle of like the event or whatever.
That is so funny. I know. It's like so wait, you're going to do and spend a whole day doing a competition to win a diamond ring, and we have been dating for years now.
Yeah.
So
I was like, yeah, look, I just, but like you're right, it was like what was fun about it was like the hunt itself.
Yeah.
You know, and I literally the day beforehand, I remember like I walked around Roanoke trying to figure out like what the different clues might be.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And like just like familiarize myself. Like I was like definitely like, I mean, I know like all the roads and stuff, but it's like some of it's like I was walking out, she was like, this is this intersection, this is this intersection, this is this intersection. And like I found some, and sure enough, some of them paid off. Like
yeah.
There's only so many little like things that could be clues.
Roanoke's not that big.
Yeah. You know, they gotta keep it inside of a certain area. And I remember like that it was like a 3-hour competition, and I don't think I have like run as fast like from place to place. It was like the adrenaline was so high.
Oh, I bet.
During
yeah,
that event,
yeah,
it was just
thrilling.
Like every second counts. Get to the next one, get the answer, send it in, move. And man, I think we came in like fifth or something. It was really close.
That's amazingly close.
I know. Yeah, we didn't quite end up getting there, but man, it was super fun. But you're right. Like, I really wish, yeah, it would have been better if the prize had just been $15,000, you know, instead of like a ring valued at that.
Right.
Because that would have been more of just like a yay, big win.
Yay. So like, do I remember correctly that during this particular occasion, I think Mike was wearing those like Vibram.
No,
like,
I was.
Oh, you were wearing
them.
Yeah, okay.
I was wearing the Vibram, the five finger shoes. Yeah.
I completely forgot that you actually owned those.
I did.
Now it's coming screaming back to me.
I owned them and I was like, yeah, this will be good. This will be cool. And man, let me tell you, what a terrible footwear choice for this event where you are sprinting around sidewalks and roads.
Like concrete.
Yes. I mean, I could not stand at the end. Like during it, it was like, I didn't even notice it. The adrenaline was so high. And then like, as soon as it was over, it was like the pain in my feet was like terrible.
I bet. Yeah. I bet you were just bruising them.
It was, like, yeah. Bone basically. Bruises. Yeah. But man, I remember, and it was like kind of crowded downtown and it was like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, sorry, I am sprinting through you people right now. Like, get out of the way. Doesn't matter. See ya.
Yeah. If you're ever in like a public event where they're doing like a t-shirt cannon, it's like if Jay is near you, mm-hmm. it's like you might want to just like give some space. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a buffer zone.
Because I want that shirt.
Going all
but
out.
It's the same thing. It's the hunt. It's like, you know, am I gonna wear that shirt? No. You know? Like
but am I gonna be the one who catches it? You better believe it.
You know? Exactly.
Move aside, children.
I want that triple XL shirt, yo.
Yes. Oh man. Oh, so much fun. One of these days, I feel like on my life bucket list is the opportunity to fire a t-shirt cannon at some point in time. Or even just the t-shirt slingshot. You know, it doesn't have to be like ultra powered or anything.
Right,
just the ability to lob t-shirts into a large crowd. It seems like fun.
It does seem fun.
And you're gonna make like a few people's day.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then like a few other people will be close. And then like, they can tell their friends about that.
Right. Yeah.
You're not handing out t-shirts, you're handing out memories.
You're handing out memories. Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I don't think we're going to top that.
No, definitely not. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this year's worth of popcorn culture. It has been such a wild ride. So many fun things have happened. And we do appreciate you being here with us for all of it. As ever, if you have any feedback for the show, you can head on over or you can email it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to download the Pixar Theory, the song, you know, see if we can get that trending.
Yo.
You can do so on iTunes. I guess we'll link that down below as well. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. And until next time,
pop,
pop.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.